Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Chasing Cars with Clarissa and Julian Coe from SG Car Mart. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Chasing Cars on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. I'm joined on the phone by SG Car Mart's Julian Coe. We have been talking for the last few weeks about SG Car Mart's Car of the Year nominees. This week, we're talking about a segment that is growing in popularity and you see more and more of them on the roads. Crossovers. There are four categories: compact crossovers, crossovers, premium crossovers, premium performance crossovers. I have no idea what these different categories actually mean, but I do know the cars in them. Julian, let's start with compact crossovers. This is a rather packed category of nominees.
I know. We have like six cars inside. It's ridiculous because car makers keep coming up with them. They keep launching compact crossovers. They keep launching this car, these sorts of cars in this segment, because I suppose it's a growing market, number one. There's always a business case for crossovers. I mean, in my personal point of view, I feel compact crossovers are really just hatchbacks on stilts, but it does give you that rugged look. I guess that's what people are going for nowadays. Obviously, they're not going to buy to go off-roading. I'm pretty sure about that, but it does give you that additional headroom. It does give you that aggressive vibe. Makes you feel a little bit more manly behind the wheel, I suppose.
Additional headroom, like Singaporeans are so dull.
I think it's just you and me.
All right, so in the compact crossover category, the cars are the Kia Stonic mid-hybrid, the Mazda CX-3, the Peugeot 2008, the Skoda Kamiq, the Volkswagen T-Cross, the Renault Captur. I think I've actually test-driven most of these, and I did go with my girlfriend to check out the T-Cross at the showroom because she came very close to buying one. Of course, in the end, she chose to buy the full-size version, which is the Touré.
that was a big leap, man.
No. If you look at, no, let's be honest. If you look at the Volkswagen T-Cross, it looks like a baby Touré.
Yeah, it does. It does, really.
So she went with the big brother.
A very sensible choice, I must say.
If you're going to put out, you know, money for a premium car, then you might as well put out real money for a real premium car. Anyway, she's a lot taller than I am. I mean, like, she's almost double my size. So it made no sense for her to even remotely consider the T-Cross. Now, people like us and our size, maybe T-Crosses make more sense. But if you're, like, you know, about 6 foot tall, why?
Well, maybe it's the second car?
No. Anyway, so this category's got a lot of them. You've got Germans, you've got French, you've got Japs, and you've got Koreans as well.
Yeah.
Right? So
the whole deal, man.
It's everybody who makes cars right now. So yeah, you're right. It is a very, very, very popular segment. So at that point, the question is, what are they looking for? And of all of these, which ones do you lean towards?
Potential buyers of the compact crossovers are really looking for something different. They don't want to drive a hatchback. They don't want to drive a compact sedan. They want to be slightly different, want to be a little bit more lifestyle-ish. It's a little bit more aggressive looking, makes them look a little bit more rugged. That's why they're going for compact crossovers. And I can completely understand that. I can relate to that. I don't think there's you get more space out of compact crossovers compared to, say, hatchbacks, but you drive tall. That makes you feel good. For me, personally, I would lean towards two of them cars, and one is the Mazda CX-3 and the other one would be the Volkswagen T-Cross, actually. I'm not a big fan of the rest of them, not really at least, but since I've driven all six of them, I would say these two would probably have a good chance of winning. But then again, that's just me. It depends on the voters.
Right. Now, the Mazda CX-3 is a car I actually considered buying, I have to admit. But that's because I have a very, very big place in my heart for Mazdas. The few that I have owned have always been very reliable. Mazda styling in the last few generations have been fantastic. Their drivability has improved phenomenally.
It's actually very, very impressive. I have no idea what Mazda did. Some magical touch.
They hired new people on their design teams.
I have to say, it's really impressive. They've done a wonderful job. I think they should continue doing what they're doing. It's something that it's just, I don't know, I actually like the Mazdas, how they look, how they drive. The red is just a very eye-catching red. It's the sort of red that no other car makers are doing. I don't even know how they're doing this. But I would say, of all the Japanese cars, Mazda is definitely the one that stands out the best.
There's certainly, in terms of lines and styling, for the last, like I said, few generations, they've actually just taken leaps and bounds. They are very pretty cars, and they're very, you know, immediately recognizable on the road. And the fact that there are so many on the road does offer you some insight into how good they are, because from a Japanese car point of view, most of us who would buy a Japanese car would go to other marquees first. But now people are going to Mazda more and more because they're very good cars. I liked the Mazda CX-3. I can't disagree with you. I'll tell you another car that I really liked. I actually really liked the Kamiq, but let's be honest, Skoda's design team needs to look at the Mazda design teams a bit more closely.
They're going to feel so hurt.
But they make great cars. They're great cars. They're easy to drive. I enjoy the car. It's just, you know, the lines a bit angular.
I guess. But no, you know what? You're right. I actually really like how the Kamiq looks. But it's just that I could probably relate to the T-Cross a little bit more. That's why I'm leaning towards that car. But
because you're a big man in a small man's body, right?
Yeah, that too. And for that matter, I mean, you can't please everyone. You know what I mean?
Well, let's see what the voters decide, because I'm actually quite curious in this category which one will come up tops. We move on to the crossover. There's only two in this category, the Seat and the Kia. What are your thoughts on them? The Attica and the Seltos? Is that how you say it?
I think the Kia Seltos is something that's very un-Kia. I don't even know how to say it. I've been driving Kia for so many years. I've been test driving their cars for so many years. It just feels different, the Seltos. I mean, it doesn't feel Kia-like. It's not like the Sorento, you know, or something else, or the Stinger, or the Cerato K3. You know, it's not something that I can relate to for some reason. So I'll have to say, I actually relate a lot more to the Seat Ethica. It's a little bit sportier. Looks is very individual. I'm perfectly fine with how it looks. It drives very well, and it's very, very bang for buck. Unfortunately, this year we only have these two cars, the Ethica as well as the Seltos, because for some reason, everyone just keeps launching the compact crossover instead of the regular crossover. So, well, this year we only have two of them.
All right. Well, these two I'm not familiar with because I haven't test driven them. So we'll have to take your word for it. We move on to the premium crossover. Now, this category, I can honestly say I have driven most of them, and I do have a fondness for all of these cars. The Audi Q3, the Audi Q3 Sportback, the Jaguar E-Pace, the Mercedes-Benz GLA Class. My eyesight, what can I say? You know, of these four cars,
that's what you can see.
Uh-huh. And we shall leave it at that, or you might not make the end of this episode. Okay, of these three cars, can I just say for the record, the Jaguar is the prettiest one?
I think you're not wrong, to be fair. I think, honestly, you're not wrong. But here's the thing. Because of that appeal, I think a lot of people are going to vote for the GLA class.
Oh, personally, I think the GLA is great. I loved driving it.
Well, I mean, it looks great. I don't think it drives as well as Audi Q3, if you were to ask me. I think the Audi Q3 drives a lot better. It's a lot smoother, a lot punchier. It doesn't really have that luxury badge appeal when it comes comparing to, say, Mercedes-Benz, for instance. But on its own, I have to say, it has a lot of merits.
Oh, no, I mean, Q3 has been around for a long time. I mean, we're in the, I don't know with which version of this car. And every one of them has been pretty good. But, and I do, you know, I have a soft spot for Audi. But the Mercedes GLA is actually quite nice. Not bad. I like.
Really?
Yeah, I like.
I almost can't remember, because it didn't really leave that strong of an impression, so to speak. But I have to say, I can completely understand if someone comes up and say, you know what, I'm really attracted to GLA. I can relate to that. As in, I can understand why they would think that way. But again, like I said, personally, I mean, my heart is with the Audi Q3. You know, I mean, I've driven so many different generations of the Audi Q3. I think it's a fantastic car. I just unfortunately cannot relate much to the Q3 Sportback.
Yeah.
I think that just looks a little off. For me, at least. It's not something I can relate
to. Spot-back cars, I don't get anyway. Maybe because my age is showing.
Yes, that too.
But I don't really... The spot-back anything, saloons, whatever, they don't really appeal to me. If you're going to buy a Q3, then buy a Q3. But that's just me. Moving on to the fourth and final category, which has also got a lot of cars in it, the premium performance crossover, which is, now you're talking, the Audi RS Q3, the Audi RS Q3 Sportback, the Cupra Ateca, the Cupra, Formenta, the Mercedes-Benz GLA 45 and GLB 35. I actually really liked the Mercedeses. And when you put a little pep to their step, then they're pretty, they handle well, and they've got go. But they also come with probably the biggest price tags.
Yeah, but you know what? My favorite of all time has got to be the Formenta. I know it's crazy. It sounds crazy. I know it coming from me is just crazy. But I really enjoyed the Seat Formenta. I think Formenta deserves to be the winner here. I'm just going to say it out loud because I think the Formenta looks very good. It drives very well. It's such a handsome car. It's so eye-catching. It's ridiculous. I could hardly imagine just how another car could possibly be nicer and more handsome than this car.
You know, I read something in the last couple of days that blew my mind. It was one of those reviews, you know, those extended car reviews that Car and Driver and some of those, or Road and Track used to do, where they take the car out for 3 months or 6 months, and then they also take into consideration owner reviews. And after something like 3 years, then they talk to you about, they tell you, they list what is the most reliable car by model and what have you. And you know how many times Seat actually appears on that list? A surprising a lot.
Really?
Yes. And this is like, we're talking about like from 2017 to current model. So, you know, or 2017 to when they discontinued the model. So that, like the Ibiza and stuff like that, from the time it was launched in 2017 to present day, then they review it. And this is from the point of view of the reviewers and the point of view of owners. And it came up very high, like in the top 10 of reliability.
Well, it just goes to show I've got good taste.
No, it goes to show that as far as Singaporean car buyers are concerned, Seat may not be top of reference, but maybe it should be.
Yeah, you know what? I cannot disagree with you. That is very true. That is so true. Because, now I'm saying this because I think Seat has always been lacking marketing efforts, perhaps, if I may. I'm not too sure if I'm correct, but I mean, it deserves more than just what they're getting now.
I agree. I mean, the resale value for Seats are quite low. And that is a big consideration for Singaporeans because buying a car is a big outlay. But within that, I've known people who've owned Seats because, you know, they love the Spanish styling and they've not been unhappy with their cars. I told you this like maybe 2 years ago. I had the Polo. One of my neighbors had the Seat. We bought our cars at about the same time and hers was as reliable as my Polo. Neither of us really actually had to take our cars to the workshop for anything other than the usual maintenance. And that speaks volume about the car company. So anything within the Seat model line, I would consider very seriously is what I'm saying.
Oh, man. It's just, what a waste, man. What a waste. The car is such an impressive car. It drives very well. And the Formenta, I mean, it looks so good. I can hardly imagine another car that looks as good as, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it is true. I enjoy myself in that car so much. Like, literally so much. I really genuinely enjoy myself in that car.
Now, you may sell a few on their behalf if you say it's also cheaper than the Germans.
Oh, yes, it is. That's the best part of all. It is actually cheaper than most of the Germans come. And you know what the best part is? It drives as well. It drives as well. So, I don't see why people aren't considering this.
So it will be an interesting thing. I mean, seriously, I was not surprised to see Volkswagen and Toyota and even Ford on that list of reliable cars over, you know, a 3 year, 4 year span. But I was surprised to see Seat. I have to admit, I was. But that's because Seat is very seldom top of reference for us. So maybe going back to what I said, maybe it should be. If you're going out there to consider new car models, then maybe you should also consider SEAT while you're at it. You get more bang for buck.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people should seriously just... You know what? Maybe it's just research. You just need to research a little bit more. And plus, I think people... Because people seldom get SEAT. So in word of mouth, like none of the friends drive SEAT. You know what I mean? Mm. So you don't have friends coming to you saying, you know what? You should try the SEAT. No, only people like you and me would just go around telling people, you know what? Get the SEAT. The SEAT is the bang for buck car.
So we'll see what happens for SEAT sales in the next 12 months.
Well, good luck to them. They deserve more than they are already getting, I suppose.
Now, remind us again, when do the winners of Car of the Year get announced?
They will be announced end of December.
So they can vote now, right?
Not just yet. The voting hasn't started yet. But don't worry. When the voting starts, we will make a huge announcement everywhere, on the papers, online, on radio, on wherever we can. We will announce so that everyone can actually take part in the voting.
All right. That's good enough for us. Now, this has been Chasing Cars on Money FM 89.3. We were talking about crossovers. Compact crossover, crossover, premium crossover, premium performance crossover. Now, we've expressed our mild biases. We're not trying to influence your voting, but, you know, vote when it is time to vote, because I can't wait to see who the winners are in these categories. I'm Clarissa Montero. He is Julian Koh, editor from SG Carmart. Stay with Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.